Once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. 19 years now we have been bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this day. We thank the Lord for all the prayers, the provision for this radio station, and also most of all for you, the listener. Those of you who've been with us for many years, we thank you. And we hope you keep coming back each and every Sunday. And for those who are listening today for the first time, we say welcome to you, caribou to you. And we hope you also come back each Sunday, make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about part three of prayer. And this is a prayer of intercession we're going to be talking about today. The prayer of intercession is a very important prayer as you mature in your Christian walk. You're going to find out that you spend more time praying for other people and other things in your life, other institutions, other situations, than you do even yourself. And so that's a sign of maturity, that you're standing in the gap for other people and for other situations. So turn in your Bible to James chapter 5 in verse 13. Well, once again, this is Jim Rao, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. And I'm coming to you from Kenya today, nice and bright and sunny, though it looks like maybe later in the day we're going to have clouds and possibly rain. We've had rain the last 2 days, so this is kind of an intro into the fall rains. They usually start up in earnest about August, and then September, October, November, pretty wet here, and they call that the short rain season or the August rains. And so we're looking to plant beans, and we got our maize crop harvested about 3 weeks ago from the spring and had a good crop. So we're thankful to the Lord for all that. Well, we're going to be talking about intercessory prayer here. And if you have your Bible, turn it to James chapter 5 in verse 13. This is the third in a series of messages regarding prayer. And as I spoke in the introduction, as you mature in your Christian walk, you're going to find out that intercessory prayer is a very, very important part of your prayer and your prayer life. And it takes up a bigger portion of your prayer life because you're concerned as a mature believer, you're concerned as somebody who is moving on to perfection, moving on to maturity. You're concerned about the body of Christ. You're concerned about people in your life who don't know Jesus. And so you want to stand in the gap for them. You want to intercede for people who are struggling with addictions. You want to intercede for people who are struggling with illness, maybe somebody in your own family, praying for a direction for your children, direction and encouragement for your husband or for your wife. And so this all falls into the umbrella, into the category of intercessory prayer. And you are standing in the gap between them and God. And so you are crying out for them, crying out for deliverance, crying out for encouragement, crying out for healing. And all of this, again, is in the category of intercessory prayer. Well, James, the Apostle James, the half-brother of Jesus, takes this up in James chapter 5, verse 13. He says, "If is anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms." And so this introduction to this scripture on prayer in the book of James, he's saying, if you're suffering, let him pray. He's talking to you specifically, individually, that you can pray for yourself. Well, this goes back to the Lord's Prayer that we looked at last week in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the Lord's Prayer. And you can pray for yourself. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily healing. Give us this day our daily encouragement. So it's okay to lift up prayers for yourself, to intercede for yourself. Actually, a prayer is positioning before God. It's a desire to have a conversation with God that brings you into an intimate, strong relationship with God. And so this prayer of intercession, you can pray for yourself if you are suffering. And God will give you a healing. God will give you a blessing. God will give you favor. Whatever it is you're praying for and asking the Lord for, God will grant you that to some extent. He's not going to give you everything you ask for. He answers prayers, but he's not always going to give you everything you ask for if it's not asked in the right motives. If your heart isn't right and you're not asking for things that God desires in your life that will build up the kingdom in your life, then he's not going to grant those wishes, grant those prayers to you. And so James is saying, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. And so let him sing psalms. So if you have psalms in your heart, thankfulness in your heart, gratitude in your heart, sing those songs out. It's good to put the worship music on the radio. It's good to join when others are worshiping, join in singing those worship songs. You come with your own songs to the Lord. You come with your own melodies and your own words to the Lord. And sometimes just walking down the street, maybe driving down the street in the car, turn your radio off and just start singing praises to the Lord. Whatever comes into your mind, into your heart, sing praises to the Lord. The Bible says that when you stand praying, pray believing as if you have already received. And so if you have already received that which you're getting ready to ask for, if you believe that you've already received that, you're going to have a heart of gratitude and a heart of thanksgiving, and you'll start to thank God, you'll start to praise him even before you have seen any results, even before you've seen any change. You start to praise God and thank him for what is coming your way. Then James goes on to say in verse 14, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Well, the reason that he is telling you to go to the elders, call on the elders, ask them to pray for you is because the elders are the men of the church who are sanctified, they are consecrated, doing the work of the Lord. They have been elevated among the brethren, among the body. They've been elevated because of their steadfast faithfulness, because of their steadfast service to the Lord. And so people become elders because they have been chosen by God, first of all, and then also by the congregation, or confirmed by the congregation. And so it's important then to go to the elders. If you are in a church, let the elders lay hands on you, let the elders anoint you with oil and pray for you. And if you're not in a church, that's one more good reason to get in a church. If you're not in a church, I highly recommend, suggest, and encourage you to get into a church. And then you would have the opportunity not only to have elders pray for you, but also be able to work in the church, do the work of a deacon in the church, serving the tables, find a place of service within the church. And when you are in a church, so many of these opportunities then will be made available to you that are not available to you when you're out of the church. And so get in a church, get in a good Bible-believing church, commit yourself to a walk with the Lord, stop church shopping or stop making excuses why you can't be in a church, lay down your pride, get in that body of believers and start to worship with them, start to serve with them, and start to pray with them. So James says, and go to the elders, let them pray over him and anoint him with oil, or anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord. There's no magic in the oil. It's just a symbolic representation of the Holy Spirit. And so when they anoint you with oil, it's saying, Holy Spirit, come in, do a work, convict them of sin, heal them, do a work. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God. He's our paraclete, our intercessor, our comforter, and our advocate. All of these things the Holy Spirit does in our life. And so the oil, when it's placed on you, is just to represent the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the oil. And if you go back in Psalm 133, verse 1 in the Old Testament, they put the oil on Aaron, who was the high priest, brother of Moses, the first high priest appointed with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They poured that oil on Aaron and anointed him, and he was representing the priesthood before God. Well, now we are priests. We are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a peculiar people, Peter tells us. But we have earthly elders, we have earthly priests who can anoint us with the oil, and that is a representation of the Holy Spirit working on your life. And so James says in verse 15 then, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. Not in terms of you are saved salvation-wise, it's just saving you from the sickness, saving you from the torment, saving you from the debilitating sickness and infirmity that you have. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And so as you humble yourself and you go to the elders, you let them pray for you, you let them anoint you with the oil. It says you're going to be saved from your sickness, you're going to be healed, and your sins will be forgiven. Well, the reason James brings up the issue of sin is because a lot of sickness, a lot of mental illness, a lot of infirmity, many things that go wrong with the body in your walk here on this earth, many of the things that are afflicting your body, they start as spiritual issues. They have spiritual foundations, and those spiritual foundations have to be dealt with. And many times those spiritual issues have to do with unconfessed sin, unrepentance in your life. And so when you start to confess your sin, repent of those sin, turn from your wicked ways, turn from your iniquity, then you're starting to deal with the root causes of illness, the root causes of affliction, mental problems, all these problems that people have. If they don't address the spiritual issues behind those problems, they're never going to get to the root of it. They're never going to get healed. And so James says, if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Well, trust the Lord that he can forgive you sins. Trust the Lord that the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is sufficient to forgive you of all sins. John tells us that in 1 John, that the blood of Jesus is sufficient to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so our sins can be forgiven and we can then be healed. Well, in verse 16, this is the last verse in this passage of scripture. James says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much or accomplish much. Let me repeat that again. Verse 16, confess your trespasses to one another. Well, it's very good to confess your sins to other people. You need to have a prayer partner, a confidant in your life, somebody that you can confide in and go to them, talk to them about the struggles you're having, talk to them about sin in your life, talk to them about issues in your life, may have to do with your marriage, may have to do with your children, may have to do with temptation, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, some temptation in your life that's overcoming you. A confidant you can go to and pray with them, confess your sin to them. And the elders in the church also serve that very same purpose as we already spoke about. And as your trespasses are confessed to one another, you pray for another that you may be healed. And when you go to those people and those people then pray for you, it says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, or a righteous woman, the same thing. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so God has put these people in your life. That's why I lead off this service every Sunday, lead off this radio broadcast every Sunday with prayer. God has put me in a place of authority here because of my missionary standing. Also, I've been a servant in the church for many years. I've also been ordained. And so when I pray over this region through this radio broadcast, I expect God to work through that prayer. I expect God to heal people that we pray for. I expect God to heal this country and deal with the things in this country regarding the election or regarding whatever is going on in the country. I expect and believe that God will answer the prayers. And so it's very important as we start off each Sunday with prayer, it's very important to believe. And that becomes a faith walk. You see answers to prayers. You see God move in people's lives. You see God move in the lives of your family, in your church, in your nation. And so you start to believe. It encourages your prayer. It encourages your faith. And so your faith grows stronger. It grows deeper as you mature in your faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so when you come to God, you must know that he is. Well, beloved, as you pray over the years and you see God answer prayer, then your faith is strengthened. Your faith grows stronger. You believe for bigger things. You believe for greater things. You believe for bigger ministry, for God to do more healing and bring people to you that need healed, bring nations to you that need healed. And so your faith is strengthened as you walk by faith. Then you see God move in the ways that you have prayed. And so the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, I pray that you are a righteous person listening today. Start praying, start standing in the gap. Intercessory prayer is standing in the gap between God and the people that you're praying for, standing in the gap for the nation that you're praying for, standing in the gap for the pastors, the churches that you are praying for. And so that is the intercessory prayer that God calls us to pray. And it's a powerful, powerful prayer. Well, I'm going to close up the lesson today in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat, one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament, in the Bible, actually. And it's a story about how Jehoshaphat and his people, the people of Judah and Jerusalem, were being surrounded by their enemies. And so Jehoshaphat cries out to the Lord in prayer. He goes into prayer and fasting, intercessory prayer for his people, and he cries out to the Lord to bring deliverance and freedom to his people, to escape from the enemies or to deal with the enemies. And so this is our situation. Many times in our life, we feel like the enemies are surrounding us. We feel like the enemies are overcoming us or too strong for us. So I urge you, we're not going to have time to read this whole passage today, but I urge you to read 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the story of Jehoshaphat, because this is a situation that we are going to find ourselves in every single day. Your enemies as a believer are going to come against you. Your enemies are going to try to take you out of your destiny and your calling. They're going to try to take your children out. They will come against your children to try to take you out of your calling. And so this is a great story. Again, please read it before the day is over today. Well, it happened in verse 1 that the people of Moab and the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came saying and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And so this is us. We fear many times the situations that we're in. We fear that we're going to lose our job, lose our finances, Many people have fear that keeps them from stepping out in ministry. Many people have fear that keeps them from going on a missions trip or going someplace where the Lord calls them to go. And they are surrounded by enemies, enemies coming against their children, enemies coming against their family. And so this is the same situation we're in our nation. We have enemies within, we have enemies without, we have terrorist cells within our nation. We have terrorist cells that are planning and plotting to take this nation down, and we have moral decay. There are many things, many enemies that are plotting and planning to take us down. It's all the work of the devil, all the work of the enemy. And so we need to also consider Jehoshaphat's response in light of what's happening in the USA. And so in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and then he started to pray. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Well, this is back to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 9, Our Father who art in heaven. And you can start your prayer that way, just like Jehoshaphat started it. Are you not the great and mighty God? Are you not the God of all creation? Are you not the God who has delivered us? Look back at your life. Beloved, look back at your life. How many times God has delivered you from the grip of the enemy, from the jaws of the enemy. Look back at your life and praise him and thank him. He's going to deliver you again. He will not bring you this far and just abandon you and let you go and let the enemy destroy you. He will continue to fight for you. He will continue to raise you up and deliver you from the grip of the enemy. Well, in verse 7, then Jehoshaphat goes on, Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land, the giants, before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, If disaster comes upon us, the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and we will cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And so Jehoshaphat is saying to God, God, in every situation, no matter what comes against us, no matter the enemies with the sword, the judgment, the pestilence, the famine, all these four ways of judgment, you have been there for us. You have been there for us. And if you look back at the history of the United States of America for 200 and however many years, 50 years, we have looked to God. We have cried out to God. He has been there for us. He has delivered us from our enemies. And even now, today, the Lord is standing with us. He's sending his angels to deliver us from the enemies of the United States of America. And in your name, we believe. In your name, we still cry out. In your name, we still carry our money. It says, in God, we do trust. And so we're going to trust in God in this situation in 2024 to deliver us from our enemies. And then he goes on to say, Now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, the great enemies whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. And now here they are back, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you. And so now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord and they cried out to God. Well, verse 14, Jehoshaphat wraps his prayer up. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And Jehaziel said, Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, the battle is God. And so when you face the enemy in your life and the enemy looks like it's too strong for you, just remember this, greater is he that is in you. Greater is that God that is in you, that great almighty God, that God that has not let you down, that great almighty God that has delivered you from your enemy many times. Greater is he that is in you than that little God, that little he, that little enemy, that little devil that is in the world. When you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you have the Spirit of the living God, the Rosh HaKodesh in you, the Holy Spirit of the living God is in you. He will raise you up. He will give you wisdom. He will give you strength. He will give you strategies. He will give you word of knowledge that you can deal with the enemy, deal with the wiles of the evil one, and the evil one will not succeed. He will not accomplish his plans against you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every word spoken against you in judgment you shall condemn. And so God will be there for you, just as he was for Jehoshaphat. I urge you to read the rest of this chapter, but I can tell you just briefly what happens, not to spoil the story, but just briefly in verse 20. They arose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and those who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Well, beloved, sing that song. Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Pray, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. Intercede for your nation. Intercede for your family, for your church. And God will give you victory. You don't have to fight. The battle is the Lord's. Well, today we're asking the Lord to intercede for this nation, for this ministry, and for each and every one of you listening today. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We'd love to hear from you. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and include prayer requests. If you have requests, you'd like to have us pray with you in regard to your prayer requests. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.